What up, though? It's your boy CB. That is Chillby. And finally, I come back to give you the Laker 82-16 series, where I cover the grind of 82-game-long season where it takes 16 wins to get the chip in the end. I have not said that in a while, and you're wondering why. Well, I didn't want to play the if game. You know, life strikes. I got little kids, you know, babies. One is grown. This ex grown. She's not really grown. And I was just waiting. I wanted to watch and enjoy basketball before I came back and had a real conversation. Didn't want to play the if game. But today is the day I talk about the play-in, both matchups that we had in the Western Conference, because I can care less about the East. So we'll talk about the Pelicans round two, if you want to call it, because we just played them recently to close out the season to get the eighth seed. And then we'll talk about, you know, Golden State, Sacramento, just a little bit. And then we'll kind of, you know, venture into that Denver Nuggets territory toward the end. And I'm also, just because I haven't said anything about it, I'm going to have a official Falcon Round and Find Out Kirk Cousins conversation at the very end. So stay tuned to that next. All right. Let's get right into it. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. And let's get right to the Lakers and the Pelicans, who win 110-106 in a nail-biter, near disastrous, just fall-apart game and a comeback win for the Pelicans. But as we've seen, Zion goes out with like three and some change to go, and that kind of changed the momentum for this Pelicans group, who are coming down here with force. And I think just letting Zion get off would have been just fine, because we were still winning the game. He was doing whatever. But it was two things that kind of really made this thing tight at the end. It was Trey Murphy and Alvarado coming along for the ride and really starting to hit the outside shots. The defense of the Pelicans really just making the Lakers kind of a stagnant offense. And just to go further with those points, is the Lakers' stagnant offense really stemmed from a couple things. A, we went back to the matchup hunting and trying to, you know, and now you're wasting too much time from the play clock, and you're not starting your offense or making any type of movement until 9 seconds are on the play clock, which led to LeBron taking some ill-advised and just flat-out dumb shots, tough shots. Anthony Davis, you could tell. Well, if you didn't tell, you would say he was playing soft and he was playing like blah, 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 whatever you want to fill in the blank. But I could tell that the back definitely was the, yeah, you could tell he was not in any type of way trying to get fully in the way of Zion coming downhill. He did not want that smoke. He didn't want that type of contact on his body, like he did in the first matchup we had earlier in the week. I understand. And at the same time, I was like, if we can't take that force, they're going to have a real opportunity to steal this away from us. And then we will be in trouble, because we'll be facing either a Golden State or Sacramento Kings matchup. And that would have been a foot race in anybody's game in a single elimination. But we persevered. We made it through. Zion, unfortunately, I'm thinking this now came out to say it was more like a hamstring injury. At first, we were hearing left leg soreness or something like that. And people were saying, you got to play through it. And, you know, Shaq with his normal icy hot joke. But if it was a hamstring, those are tricky. It's not really much you can do about that, because, I mean, his just explosiveness and his force, and we got to credit him for getting his body in shape during the season, although hopefully next season he'll be able to come in and start the season off that way. If he doesn't have any type of lingering injuries or any other drama that comes along his way. But Anthony Davis back definitely looked like it was, yeah, offensively he was not in any way possible looking the same way he had in the previous game. You can see the lift. I think he said Larry Nance Jr. was pushing on his back in the first game. And it wasn't just that last one where he got touched. That was just the end result of what do we call them, spasms and hip issues. But even when he went up for like a layup or a dunk, you know, he didn't say he just felt for pushing in the back. And that's kind of what he dealt with all year. So, yeah, man, we squawk out of there. We squawk. We squares out of there with a win. We made sure we got, you know, just enough at the end from certain guys. We're going to break down who really, really showed up for us in the end when this was really a struggle. But let's look at the numbers. 6 for 20 for LeBron and 1 for 5 on the three-point line. Even though we had 23-99, it was just not. It was not a great, efficient type of game we are used to from LeBron. Those tough jumpers really made his game look like you can tell he's running out of gas at the end. He took that one charge from Zion. You can tell that wasn't fun. Took another charge from somebody else. And, you know, you could just start seeing, like, okay, like LeBron really wants this game. He doesn't really have the wind that carry us over the top at the end with the offense, but he's trying in every area he can. So we respected him. With Anthony Davis. 6 for 16, you know, he had 3 blocks. Like defensively, I think he was still fine. On the boards with 15, I think he was still fine. He had 20 points, but you can tell down the stretch he had no lift, no intentions of being able to do what he wanted to do with that back. And he got I credit him for getting that offensive rebound like that one hand. He stuck that mid out there and finally, you know, kind of secured the basketball and got fouled with the free throw line. I'm going to stop right there because I know the free throw line discrepancy will be brought up, as well as saying if Zion didn't get hurt, would they win? All these things are, you know, irrelevant to me now. It doesn't matter because if we would have, you know, blew a couple more assignments, they would have got the win and those questions wouldn't even be talked about, you know. So it just looks amazing when you look at that. So those are the two stars on the team. When I come back, let's talk about the guys who really helped us get this win and the supporting cast. Next. All right, like always, I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the Chill Bravado podcast, like your 8216 series here. And when you get done listening to me, make sure you slide right over to the All Things Sports podcast. Check out my boy JR. He has the world of sports to cover over there. So just tune in, stay with him. He just talked about the playing tournament. You know, he talked to MLB. He just talked a lot about women's sports and the college game and gave his analysis and stuff on the Caitlin Clark situation and her arrival and uplifting, you know, the haters and all these things. And so just anything you want to hear from just every corner of the sports world, go over to the All Things Sports podcast with my boy JR. My brother. All right. Now, let's get back to something, you know, because I think he had more faith in my Lakers than I did. He said they were going to get back up to the 8th seed. During that little run at the end, I just felt like we didn't take care of business with the Warriors or the Sacramento Kings. And I just felt like we shot ourselves in the foot. But then we got some help from the Pelicans. We got some help from the Suns. And we were able to slide into the 8th seed. And I think this Pelicans matchup was a better matchup for us because it kind of gave me a little bit of hope that, you know, we could survive their type of runs. But it's hard for us to survive the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors type runs. I feel like in a series we could beat both those teams. But in a single game, win all, I just feel like we just have guys who, if they got hot, could we take that punch and recover fast enough? And then, you know, who knows what happens toward the end of the game when you got a De'Aaron Fox coming at you or Steph Curry. Zion was almost in that stratosphere until he went out. So, you know, I'm just glad we got the win, man, because AD needs the rest. If we're about to go up against Denver Nuggets, we need all the rest we can get. We did not need to play around. People who saying, oh, they shouldn't lose and try to get OKC in the first round. Like, we just guaranteed to beat OKC just because we handed them some losses during the season. But first, you got to be going to stay to Sacramento, who we've struggled with. Those are teams that we don't have answers for right now. With Golden State, I feel like we had a little more answer for, but, you know, AD kind of didn't play in this game and that game, and you know, LBJ didn't play in this game. Yeah, so that was kind of tricky. That was going to be tough to play against anyway, but I think we'll build more to handle them in a series, not necessarily in a single game, because Draymond, you know, is going to go 5-for-5 in the three-point line against us, whatever. But we'll talk about them in a minute. Let's just say this. The supporting casting against the Pelicans. D'Angelo Russell, 21-6. I mean, these are not even great. This is not even like a super blow-up game. But in a game where AD and LeBron struggle down the stretch to score the basketball and really have impact offensively, D'Angelo Russell came up with a key steal and a key corner three. He's a guy. He had five threes when the three ball was not really falling for LeBron. He kind of stepped in there, and I applaud him because, you know, he's getting guarded by the likes of some of the, you know, Herb Jones and Trey Murphy and Alvarado. Like, these guys are young, you know, aggressive, defensive-minded players at times, and it's really good to see him face that adversity. You know, him and Alvarado got teched up early, which I don't feel like D'Lo deserved a tech, but I see what they're saying. He was definitely instigating a little bit. He talks to the crowd a lot. He does that. He points at the bench and he gets, but that's how he has fun. And if that's how he plays loose, we need that coming up in his next round, his first round against the Denver Nuggets. Because honestly, when I get to that third segment, we're going to definitely talk about some key matchups, some key, you know, points to look at for that Nuggets matchup. But as we kept going, Austin Reeves, 16-5-6. He just kind of does what he does. I feel like we're going to get more from him in the next series. I think he's a guy who's going to have to play well, because I know D'Lo, he's going to have a game or two where he's going to, you know, look a little shaky. So we need to see if Austin can stay that consistency, you know, within the backcourt. Because if these two guys do not put up points and effort, we're cooked and we're toast. But I have confidence in that. Rui, who, you know, last year he came on and had a good series against them, but it was just too late. We played the small ball lineup in game one. That was one we really should have won. Never recovered from it. Didn't really have much, you know. LeBron was on one leg. AD was not going to be able to battle the Grizzly Bear alone. And Rui, he just gave you all he could. So this year, now that Rui is in the starting lineup, we're as healthy as we're going to be. Okay, I know we don't have Vando. I know we don't have another super big, and you know, and I know we've had a slew of injuries all year, not named AD and LeBron. And people asking how they, LeBron and AD, play all these games during the season, but they still find themselves in the play-in tournament. Well, let's go back and look at how the season started. Gabe Vincent, he just played like his ninth game with the Lakers. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying these are things that contribute to winning. You don't have Gabe Vincent, a guy who you paid, you know, pretty much your taxpayer, you know, like mid-level exception, excuse me. Like, you gave him almost $13 million. That was supposed to be your key. Like, when you throw that out there, that was supposed to be like the guy who's going to come in and impact winning. Didn't have him all season. Vando comes in, up, he gets hurt in preseason, comes back in, starts playing well, and then, bang, he's out again. And he never came back. And I doubt he's coming back unless we make a deep playoff run. But we're playing against Denver, so who knows how long that run could be, honestly. So you have that. Rui, he started the season off with the fracture, in the nose fracture. So he wears the mask, you know. And then he has a concussion, you know. So there you go. Then D'Lo had an injury, but then he also got benched. He got benched. Eventually he was brought back into the lineup after having a little, you know, heart-to-heart with Darvin Ham. Austin Reeves, 8 games into the season, got benched. We at one time were starting Cam Reddish, Vando, Torian Prince, LeBron, and AD. Disgusting. Okay, terrible. So I'm glad we finally got our lineup situation kind of worked out a little bit. Bench is still not the best, but Gabe Vincent had his best game as a Laker, which is not a very high bar. He had 9 points, 4 assists. You know, got a steal, but his defense, you can tell, was cranking up. He really was able to screen navigate better than anybody else we have on this team. Not Alex Caruso level, but he's definitely a guy who's comfortable, you know, with the trail technique, following guys, getting through screens, being chest to chest with guys, really, really sticking his nose in there. And he's a guy who I'm looking forward to seeing now that he's more healthy. Jackson Hayes, I think he's going to play a way bigger role in this Denver series because he's all we got. Okay, Christian Wood went out a long time ago. He's not coming back. Some other weird stuff going on with his situation, not going to talk about. But he only played 8 minutes in this game. I don't think he played like, you know, a handful of minutes in the game before that. But in this Denver series, we're going to need Jackson Hayes. So let's see what he gives us, Torian Prince. He actually plays pretty well off the bench now. So hopefully this will be something, because we didn't have him last year. It's going to help us with our 3-point shooting. because three-pointers, I mean, that really, I mean, you got to think about it, man. We shot 40% from the three-point line last this game, 14 out of 35. We were actually, you know, this is a way better three-point shooting team than last year. And one thing we just couldn't generate was buckets and anything from that corner three. So I don't even think Vando is a person in this series that would make a big, big impact because of his ability, his inability to shoot the three, and then Denver would just play off him. So right now, this is definitely going to be a Rui Hachimura, Torian Prince, Gabe Vincent, Jackson Hayes, and then I think Spencer Dinwiddie will have a significant role in this series as well. This is going to be more of their style of game. We're still going to be outmatched. We're still going to be kind of, you know, I'm going to get into that in the next segment. So when I come back, we're going to talk Denver Nuggets. I got ahead of myself. I'm ready to get to it. We're going to talk Denver Nuggets, and then I'm going to end the show. We're talking about Kirk Cousins. We'll be right back. And before I get to the Denver Nuggets Lakers, I want to talk about Sacramento Kings Warriors. Warriors, they didn't get game six Clay. They got play in Clay, and I'm not knocking him. Had a rough game. Terrible way to go out for him. When I had said that, you know, I talked about Clay's falling off or slacking, whatever, he ended up playing pretty well down the stretch of the season. I know he gave us buckets. And I text JR and I say, you know what? Here we go. If the Lakers are not the opponent, Golden State just doesn't look the same because they fire on all cylinders when they play against us. They know how to take advantage of our matchups. They know we give up a lot of open threes, especially if we don't have Anthony Davis. It just looked like, oh, the Warriors are, this is what we are. This is what they are. That's probably what they was thinking. Steve Kerr, you can look on his face and he knew this game was over. And I think Steph knew it too. Sacramento just came out and just looked more like they had more life, more to play for, like. And Golden State like a team that's like a champion. And he's trying to play rope-a-dope, and he messed around and one of those jabs got through. And then it just kind of they're sitting in the corner, you know, trying to pretend like they're not hurt. And they were hurt. They fought back and they got back in this game. And then, you know, Kings just stepped it up. Ellis played well. Murray was outstanding. You know, Fox, Sabonis, these guys are gonna do what they're gonna do. And there you go. Like, the Warriors are who they are. And the Lakers, if they don't take care of business against Denver, are going to be sitting right there with them, both looking at each other, pointing at the Spider-Man meme, looking at each other, pointing at each other, because you're going to be two teams. You're going to have to figure out what you're going to do. And, you know, what are you going to do? It's going to be a Clay conversation is going to happen. It's going to be, are we going to get, you know, new pieces or go around Steph? You know, is Wiggins and all these guys going? Who's staying? Should I stay or should I go? But we'll have to worry about that, you know, a little later. Right now, we got basketball to talk about, and the Denver Nuggets with Aaron Gordon, who's big enough, strong enough to deal with LeBron James. It's going to be interesting. Jamal Murray, you know what he brings with a two-man game with Joker. So the matchups that we're looking for, you know, it's unfortunate that Bruce Brown's no longer on this team, because I really, you know, it's funny now because he's this forgotten thing. He was a real big piece for them last year. And I think they've kind of gotten what they needed from other guys. But now it's going to be the time where we're going to see if all this season and all the preparation that Watson and Brown and these guys got, are they going to be able to take it up and use it into the playoffs in a big marquee matchup type of situation. And I've been impressed with what they've been able to get out of those young guys. Unfortunately, we got to face against it again. But I'm glad we're doing it now. And I'm going to tell you why after I break down the matchups. AD against Joker. Everybody's going to talk about it. We pretend like AD is not a good defender. We pretend like he's soft when nobody in the league has an answer for Joker. You know, outside of maybe Embiid. And they don't even guard each other. So I find it hilarious that we just hold AD, you know, to the standard that he should be able to out Grizzly a grizzly bear. So it's not like Joker is out there, you know, not taking advantage of his, you know, his size, his IQ with his size. So, yeah, I think if Joker was Sabonis' size, I don't think he would. And then it's funny I say Sabonis because Sabonis is like, oh, he's like 9-0 against AD. You know, we do these matchups like it's not a team effort. But Joker is definitely a problem for everybody. And then Aaron Gordon, LeBron. Matchup I'm going to love to watch because you're not going to be able to just, you know, play that weak side and that dunker spot and let Aaron Gordon do what he want to do. LeBron got to commit to something. Are you going to come over to help, you know, with the Grizzly? Or are you going to, you know, sit back and the dunk champ and try to keep him, tag him? And then you got Michael Porter Jr. running around. You know, so Rui, I don't know. Who's going to do the chasing? This is the matchups we had problems with. Because now, Michael Porter Jr., is Rui going to guard that? All right. KCP. All right, Austin, you running chasing that? Or no, D-Lo probably going to be chasing that. And then, Austin's going to have to guard Jamal Murray. And now you already see the disadvantages that we have in this game. So it's not like surprising that they're going to be overwhelming favorites to win this game, because defensively we're just going to have to find a way to tread water, and the only way we're going to be able to contest and contend with this team is that we continue to shoot that three ball at a high clip, make a high percentage of it, get downhill. AD's back's going to somehow heal up. Thank God, this is one thing that I'm telling you that is different about this year, okay? And it's going to be the scheduling of the playoffs. Because when the early part of the playoffs, you have a little more space in those games. Now, when we met them in the conference finals, it's like a game every other day. And that right there was the wear and tear on the body of LeBron, AD, all these guys who really. But look, I want to point out to you that the first game of the first round is Saturday, April 20th. Then we play Monday, April 22nd. And then on Thursday, April 25th. And then Saturday, April 27th. Did you notice that Monday to Thursday, you get just enough rest before you go home? So you're getting rest right now. You needed to win that play-in game because you didn't want to play on Thursday and then turn right back around and play on Saturday. So you gave yourself the initial rest that you need as a Laker. Now you go into this and you're knowing that, all right, Saturday and Monday, we make it through those first two games, see if we can split that, all right? And then when you get to Thursday, the 25th, now, this is going to be our time. We're going to be as rested as we can be. Let's hope we come out of them first game without injuries. And the playoffs will start on April 25th for real. Because the first two games, it's like, yo, well, the home team won. They did their part. So if we can split that first, you know, one and two, the playoffs start in that next game. Whoever wins game three, I'm just going to go ahead and say that, no, if the Denver Nuggets win game three, the series is over. That's what I'll say. That's what I'll say. If the Denver Nuggets win game three, I don't care if it's 2-0 going up or it's split. If the Denver Nuggets, if we split with them and we still lose game three, I'm going to say 90% chance the series is over. 90% chance. Because that means we still haven't got over that mental hump that we can't even beat these guys at home. You know, so, but that's fine. I'm not even going down that road this fast. Not really worried about it. I'm worried about game one. Just looking at it, the bench of Denver is going to be something I'm looking forward to. Can our Laker bench is very inexperienced together. You know, now we have Gabe, who hasn't played a lot. Spencer, who just jumped on the team in the buyout market. Jackson Hayes, who's kind of been steady Freddy there. And then that's when you wish you had Vando. That'll be that other spot because we're not playing a lot of bench guys. It's pretty much over. Max Christie, for some reason, doesn't get any run anymore. Cam Reddish has kind of proven that his body can't handle the workload of 82 games because he kept getting nicked up and injured all season long. I feel like that kind of played him off the court. That's why he's not playing. And it's fine. He's a vet mid guy anyway. And that's just what it is. But, yeah, game one. What are we going to do? What is going to be the strategy? Can we shoot the ball well enough? Because we've had close games with this team, and then they execute and they put us out. So here we are. Game one. Who's going to take it? I don't know. If we're going to do anything and make any noise, I feel like game one has to be a must win for the Lakers. We need to get that first game. Let's make this thing as competitive as possible. We're already the underdog, and I have no problem sitting here and saying, I'm glad we're playing them right now. Don't care about OKC and that losing on purpose nonsense. I'm out, no ducking nobody, because look, it's only up from here. If you mess around and win game one, you up. If you mess around and win this series, oh man, Darvin's job is safe. Yeah, but if you lose this first round series, then you can already start with your offseason plans. It's a couple teams out there we like to, you know, that we've been linked to, that we can go ahead and say, hey, you know, remember that talk we was having before the trade deadline? Yeah, we got all summer. Let's go ahead and pick that back up and see what we're gonna do. Let's crunch some numbers. But I'm not thinking about the offseason yet. We're thinking about, you know, revenge tour, pretty much the revenge tour. So now, after I come back from the break, I'm going to talk on my Kirk Cousins conversation, and then I'm gonna get you guys out of here, because I know some guys know I'm a Falcon fan, and they want to hear what I have to say about the Kirk Cousins signing and what it means for the Atlanta Falcons. All right. Let's get right into it. Kirk Cousins signed with the Atlanta Falcons, and he has been guaranteed $100 million. And everybody sees the big number of 4 years up to like 100 and whatever. But all I say about this contract is everybody's like, man, why they pay him so much money to get, you know, injured? He's injured, and, you know, you hit a Cam Newton thing. And I agree with Cam Newton on one part, that there's no way he would ever get that type of money coming off injury because of, you know, the Cam Newton effect of what people have, you know, against him as far as what type of personality he is. Kirk Cousins is safer. They know he's not going to be a guy who's going to, you know, rattle the cage, I guess you'll say. He's going to stay, you know, he's going to stay contained and be a professional in every aspect of the word, even though Cam has been a professional, but his mouth is just not something they want to deal with, unfortunately. That's a whole nother conversation, but people are like, man, why are you giving so much money to this older guy? Why are you giving him? Like, calm down, people, man. Like, that guaranteed money that he's getting is front loaded in those first 2 years. So you could really, if Kirk Cousins only plays here 2 years, 2.5 years, that means he's played terrible, and you can get off that contract, you know, pretty quick. You don't have to have him the whole 4 years. But Atlanta Falcons, the organization, is hoping that Kirk Cousins plays then entire totality of the contract, because that means he played well. So everybody's looking at this contract and why it's so big and blah blah blah. Oh, he only has one playoff win. Well, like, I want, go look at your favorite quarterbacks, your favorite quarterback. Look at your team. If you don't have Patrick Mahomes and, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow, if you don't have these guys, you know, if your favorite quarterback is Lamar Jackson, you know, we've seen what he done in the playoffs. It's been real documented of why, you know, people they doubt him, you know. Deshaun Watson, all these guys, you know, Deshaun, he has to get back to himself, you know. And I'm just looking at it from my point of view, is like, I don't really care about the number that the contract was, because you knew in free agency, if you're going to get him and not trade for Justin Fields or draft a quarterback, you knew you have to overpay to a certain extent, but the overpay has to make sense. Like, you have to be able to put it in the contract and make it make sense for your ball club in a way that it doesn't hurt you long term. Like right now, we're committed to Kirk Cousins for 2 years. Okay, that's, I mean, like, not necessarily saying you're gonna cut him after 2 years, but we are all in for 2 years. Darnell Mooney, you bring him in, okay. You know, good solid receiver. Rondale Moore, gadget potential upside guy. You know, you bring in that tight end from the 49ers, which I'm like, he's a blocking tight end. I didn't get excited about that. You know, who else? Ray McCloud, you know. Oh, okay, return guy. Cool. But for these people who are telling me, like, man, oh, y'all won the free agency, or are saying, like, man, y'all should win the division. It's like this narrative's already been formed that the Falcons should win the division. And I say, cut it out, stop it. I don't believe in it. What have we done? What have we addressed on the defensive end? We picked up a couple guys in rotational players and whatnot, but we didn't get Danielle Hunter. No, we didn't get Jadeveon Connor. We didn't get any of these guys that went off the board, but, and that's fine, because Right now, the reason I have not said anything because the draft is not passed. Okay, who are we drafting? Dallas Turner? Are we trading back? You know, getting Jerry First? Latu? Are we gonna go cornerback? It's so many different, best player available BPA that it's just a toss up for who they're gonna get. Dallas Turner seems to be the overwhelming favorite, as most of these experts, air quotes, are saying we're gonna pick. And I'm just waiting for it to happen. I'm not really trying to predict who they get. I just want to know, all right, when they get him, what's the next step, whoever he is. So it's kind of like with Bijan. Like when they pick Bijan, I'm like, okay, I get it. But I knew that meant we were going with Desmond Ridder, and I knew that was going to be like all Desmond Ridder had to do was be an average quarterback, top 15 and up, middle of the pack quarterback. And I think for certain parts of the season, he was able to do that. But then in crucial moments, in key game matchups, he played like a bottom five quarterback. And that's what got him up out of here. So that's now you bringing Kirk Cousins. You ask Kirk Cousins, we know you're coming off an Achilles injury, but you're not a guy who's going to be mobile and run around and move around a lot anyway. You don't have a history of being hurt a lot. So we're not worried about you and your mobility because we know what your arm is going to bring. Oh, we think we know what your arm is going to bring. So now all we're asking is, can you be 15 and up? Can you be an average quarterback and then work your way into being top 10? Can you get to 10? Because if he's an average quarterback, we can possibly win this division. Possibly. We still have no answers on defense fully yet for all of the holes that we have. But if he's a top 10 quarterback, we're talking about, okay, now can we make a playoff run? But I can't even get happy or excited about that yet because this team is still so incomplete. I feel like we're going to get another running back, whether that's a free agent guy or we draft another guy, because Bijan and Tyler Allgeier, that's all we really got. I mean, you got to have more than that. I feel like we're going to get another receiver. I feel like we need one. Ex-receiver. We'll talk about that later on. We got all offseason long. I feel like we're not done with the receiver room. I feel like the defensive line is going to have to be addressed and probably going to be in the draft. Cornerback is going to have to be addressed across from AJ Terrell. Safety is going to have to be addressed. I don't think Richie Grant is out of a job just yet, but I feel like we definitely want somebody else to be there with us so we can utilize him in a different type of way. So cornerback, safety, receiver, defensive line always, running backs right there. We have holes and needs. Edge rush, So it's just a matter of time before the draft is here. I can't wait. We're meeting up with the fellas. We're going to all meet up and have our traditional annual draft night celebration. We're trying to do it a little bigger, but not this year. We're going to stick to the old, meet up, meet and greet, watch it to the end, fuss and complain about who picked who and whatever, just good fun stuff. But my Kirk Cousins take is this team's still incomplete. I'm not overly excited about the Kirk Cousins signing. I'm not down on it. I'm fine with it. Now I'm just waiting for the pieces to fall. And just giving me a couple receivers and a blocking tight end doesn't really make me excited. So, and that's not me being like, a hater or just not trying to be optimistic. But the story, I'm like Cody Rhodes in the wrestling, man. Finish the story. Finish the team. What are you going to do? Who are we going to get to get to their quarterback? That's all I want to know. And this whole notion that, Cousins, he's hasn't won and underwhelming and how does he get that contract? That's a conversation for another day. After we get our team together, I'll come back and I'll bring up in the Cam Newton club chase thing. Just not going to do it today because right now that's only just a little bit into what I'm thinking when it comes to Kirk Cousins. Because it's really about the Lakers right now. We have a fight of a lifetime. Opportunity. Revenge tour coming, baby. And it's right around the corner. Lakers versus Denver Nuggets. Round one. Are you ready? Are you ready? Appreciate you guys for listening. I'm your boy, CB. Chill Beam. Chill. Bravado Podcast. Hold up. Wait a minute. Before I go, Falcons owner Arthur Blank called Patriots owner Robert Kraft after his first meeting with Bill Belichick this offseason for the head coaching job. A source close to Belichick said Kraft, quote, was a big part of why the Falcons passed on hiring Belichick. So did Kraft warn Blank not to trust Belichick? Ooh, nobody knows. Dang, BB. It happens sometime. But it's all right. I'm glad you're not a Falcon. Rise up.